this has been a hard couple of years for you, but you also mentioned at the same time you didn't have a deadline to meet. And what did the lack of demands mean for you, and as far as being able to produce the album you wanted?
Well, I guess it meant a couple of things. One, it meant I didn't make any money because I pretty much locked everybody out of my studio except myself and my partner David. You know, I've recently gotten rid of it for about 3 years. I had my own studio in Chicago, and I just kind of gradually decided that, you know, I guess that the only way I was going to heal myself from all of these things that were going on, I mean, I guess distract/heal, was to dive into what I do to try to get some catharsis, really. At the same time, I don't think I was writing specifically about what was going on in my life. You know, curiously enough, as I look back on it, I see that I kind of was, because this is the first record I've put the lyrics in the liner notes. And as I go back and read the lyrics, which I had to, you know, like proofread 15 times, I realize, and I'm not one who's big on reading lyrics outside of the context of listening to the song, but at the time, I just wanted to get active. And so I really just kept writing songs up until the point where it really became almost cumbersome and not really having an outlet that I was happy with to get them out. And Jeff Macklin, my manager, was actually at the time just managing my production career. And Jeff really was not doing artist management, but he was doing such a good job managing my production career that I said, you know, I called him up really late one night, just out of my mind, and said, you know, I want to get my artist career back on track, and I've got all these songs. And initially I proposed to him, do you think we could find a label that would, like, put out 70 songs, like a 4-CD set or something? You know, I kind of wanted what was initially a catharsis had actually become a weight, because I just, there were just no, you know, constraints or restraints on me in any way, shape, or form, you know?
Well, with all these songs now, are you itching to release this CD and, you know, record a few more of them, or have a few more of them released on something to follow it up?
Well, yeah. I'm, you know, the way I work is I don't really make demos and then go back and recut them as the record. The demos, much in the way Wilco worked, actually, you know, the demos just always morphed into the record. But yeah, I'm already kind of itching. I still have a big pool of songs sitting around. But at the same time, I don't want to rely on that pool of songs for, what, you know, 3-4 years. But it's nice to know I have it if I kind of have a slump.
They all said you could be had for a song. Even when I'm alone, I'm still the one who doesn't belong. Whenever we're together, we just make each other feel more lonely. I followed you, baby, way too far. That first step, that first night into your car. It's been downhill since then, though we were never that high to begin with.
Edward Birch is still a part of this album as well. Talk about that collaboration, and well, and since we're on the subject of Mr. Birch, how you guys started performing together and, you know, met here on the campus.
Well, I guess we just met during those kind of obligatory years, or at least they're obligatory for just about everybody I know that doesn't dive right into their trade after they've finished college. I think it would be apt to say that Edward and I were both flunking out of grad school when we met, and therefore had spent a little too much time just goofing around and singing and writing and playing on the porch when we should have been doing schoolwork. So I think our collaboration probably led to us both being politely asked to leave graduate school.
But you did teach math at Urbana Junior High.
I did. I did take 1 year between undergraduate and graduate, and I taught junior high math. At the time, it was Urbana Junior High, and now it's Urbana Middle School.
What else do you take with you from your years at the U of I and I guess coming into your own or discovering you wanted to be a musician?
Well, you know, I think I spent a lot of time not really knowing if music was going to be a profession or a hobby for me. And some of that had to do with outside influence, you know, like the woman I did my student teaching with saying, God, you're such a great teacher. I really hope that you can do the music as a hobby. And then, you know, some other people in my life telling me the same thing. And then a lot of it was internal as well, just knowing that music's a pretty, you know, an iffy thing to call your profession, because it can kind of fall apart at any moment, really. You know, as it nearly has for me a couple of times, you know. But I think it was when I met Ken Hartz from Titanic Love Affair. And, you know, that's, he was kind of the first person I met who I could consider, first really satisfactory and satisfying and rewarding co-writer. And we really clicked writing songs together. And once I felt what that felt like to write together and both be really satisfied with the product, and then of course being able to record it as well, and then the band going on to be, you know, being at least for a time relatively successful, you know, Titanic Love Affair, I owe a lot to Ken, because we really clicked, and it was the first time I really felt like I was writing songs that were really up to par. And a lot of that had to do with him. We just really clicked. And that was the kind of thing that kind of pushed me over into thinking, well, if I can keep working with this guy, you know, I'm gonna make the commitment.
Obviously, while you're leaving Wilco didn't happen the way you wanted it to, but what did that separation with Jeff Tweedy and the rest of the band, what kind of positives do you think came from that in terms of maybe being able to express yourself in any of the recent albums?
I have to tell you, I think it was almost instantaneously positive. You know, I think I dwelled on it for about 2 days, and then I called up Edward and said, hey, do you want to make a record? And the next morning, Edward was down in my basement, you know, and we had carted off all the gear from the Wilco studio and hauled it into my basement together, and we were making a record. However I left Wilco doesn't really matter to me, because it was the right thing to happen. And I very, very quickly was completely convinced that was kind of the kick in the pants I needed to get going, you know, to enable me to do what I really wanted to do. And you know, because every time Wilco took off tour, I would start a record, you know, either a solo record or a record with Edward, and then I'd get 5 or 6 songs into it, and then Wilco would either go into the studio or go out on tour. And so I just had all these kind of half albums laying around. And, you know, finally I could, you know, have the time and the resources. And it was really good to have Edward there on that first record, because I didn't have to go from band to solo. You know, it was a transitional kind of thing.
When you said you'd stand by me through rich and poor, good and bad times, did you mean that was forever? Or was it just a promise to a God you don't believe in? Playing out our lives measure by measure, and I will not accept the shame.
You listen back now to some of these songs on this new album, like Fifth Grade, and say, of course that was about my personal life.
The third verse is very much about my divorce. You know, it's plain as day to me that it is, in particular. If you're trying to make it, you know, as positive of an experience as it can be going through divorce, you know, one of the things you do is look for patterns in, well, how other relationships in your life have fallen apart. And I think it's real clear to me that's what I'm exploring on the choruses of that song, is, you know, what's gotten screwed up, you know, consistently. What, you know, what are the consistent elements of every relationship I've ever had that's fallen apart? And so, yeah, that was, you know, and those lyrics came to me like a flash, you know. I mean, typically I write my music and lyrics right there on the spot, and, you know, typically even the vocal I do, as the lyrics are coming out, ends up being the keeper vocal, like it is on that song. But, yeah, so I can't, there's this weird sense in which, every songwriter in the world has said it, but it probably merits being said one more time. You know, John Lennon always said, you know, he didn't write songs, he picked them out of the air, you know. And that's definitely how I feel when I'm writing a song. You know, I pick those lyrics out of the air, and, you know, now as I look back, I see what they're about.
Leave the palace before at 4 a.m. Leave the palace at 4 a.m.